And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is Monday, October 12, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, I'm going to take you to my experience today in Jerusalem and in the Israeli most, you know, frequented holy grounds of Western Wall. Then I'm going to take you behind the doors, the closed doors of Israeli Knesset, where, you know, meetings are taking place when the Knesset parliament, the Israeli parliament, is starting. After that, we're going to listen to some sound bites on the Russian attack on Syria. But to start, we want to honor a prayer for a child that went to a candy shop to buy candy, and then he was hit by somebody who decided that he doesn't deserve to leave because he was a Jewish boy. He doesn't have a 13 years old, and he was stopped today in Givat Ze'ev. It's one of the neighborhood of Jerusalem. His name is Naor Shalev, and he's a son of Ruth. And I'm asking everybody to pray for him because he didn't have his own bar mitzvah yet. But his last words before he lost conscience because he lost so much blood was, save me. He was talking to you know, a friend of his father. Save me, he said. So we are praying so God will save him so we can all celebrate his bar mitzvah in happy time. It's not easy these days because in Israel they are attacked after attack by somebody. They call them Palestinians. Sometimes they call them Israeli citizens. Sometimes they call them, you know, inhabitant of the land. It's ridiculous because there is no end to that. Think about it, that we need to walk around, think about in American terms. If you go around the neighborhood and you have Hispanic, you know, black Americans, you have Portuguese, you have, you know, Scandinavian, all kind of people that, from all over the world, all of a sudden one determined, you know, that the other one doesn't deserve to live there, it starts stabbing, you know, because I don't know what it is about doing this act, but it's really horrible act of violence. And worst of all, after that, it's in the middle of the neighborhood, you know, people need to keep on living there. But there is one situation, you know, the Israeli people have to serve in the military, so it makes everyone of the Israeli adult after the military, during the military, and most of them are really in, you know, in really good close contact with their military experience because they have to go back and serve every so often until they're 40 years old. So when you are in the environment, when they're attacked, those youngsters, they go to action immediately. They are soldiers. So that's why all the terrorist attacks that happened in the last few days got stopped in the first few minutes because somebody jumped them, and they were all killed. So they have, and they're attacking a population that is trained soldiers by all means, women and men. And that makes the Israeli much more powerful. But that makes everybody in potential a warrior, and, you know, who wants this? Why in the heck people need to think about such, you know, behavior that they need to defend themselves, they have to go around everybody with guns, though. This is not fun. You don't want kids to have guns. You don't want the exposure of that, but they do. So the question is, what are we going to do about it as far as the international arena goes? There is this crisis in Syria. There are thousands of people, hundreds of thousands on the street all over Europe. and the Israeli can take care of themselves, obviously. They can, they will stop because they cannot win. You know, you can, you know, jump somebody in the street, but now that they're going to send some National Guard in, they're going to send some people, you know, from all corridor of defense mechanism around, you're going to have a lot of people in the street. And with the Israeli soldiers, you know, freebies that are running around, you cannot expect it to go on forever, because eventually they're going to run out of steam, because those are sporadic attacks. So today, in this, you know, condition and a situation, some of my friends decided to go to Jerusalem to visit the parliament, the Israeli Knesset, for the first time. And I was, you know, I was talking to them in the right time, and we coordinate to meet in Jerusalem. And of course, they decided to walk with the flag of Israel, you know, through the to the old city, just to demonstrate that, you know, they have a heart of lions. They are not gonna go back, and Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and so they did. I was driving in, you know, the old city, and for a special reason, I got a pass there, so I got inside, and I walked. And, you know, in women, in the Western world, you have a division between women's side and men's side, so you cannot see each other anyway. So we just touched base. We knew that we were there. They were there, so I didn't feel alone. I walked there, and I prayed a lot. Let's say I prayed really deeply. And there was a white dove there on the, you know, on the Western wall. And I said, all right. There is a good sign. The white dove is there. And I took a picture, put it on Facebook. But then I went there, and we met all in the Israeli parliament, in the Knesset. Now, in the Knesset, there were a lot of hoo-ha because it's the beginning of the new session. So after the holidays, everybody's coming back. So, you know, they were all very excited to be there. And of course, the friends of the Likud met in a conference room there and start talking to representatives. And we spoke to, you know, the chairman of the Knesset was there. There was a minister, former ministers, and other us. Undersecretary of the Foreign Affairs, and of course other member of the Knesset were there, and they all, you know, were really engaged, and they talked about the fact that we have to act up and we have to decide we're going to be strong and bold to defeat all the enemy of freedom. But the truth of the matter is, the conference after that, you know, the opening session was nothing, you know, nothing good that I can tell you about. The rhetoric was rhetoric of political life, which is boring sometimes because it's again and again the same old song. But I found out that those Israeli Arabs that live here actually are risking something very bad, because the opposition, which is the left wing, you know, think about what a radical change in the West, in the left wing. They said, oh, we are looking into actual separation between the Palestinian and Israeli for good. Now, I don't know who invented that, but probably, you know, it sounds like this, like it's somebody from outside advice, because there are so many Arab Israelis that consider themselves Palestinian. By saying that, you mean that are you going to kick out those from Israel? Whoever suggested that, just tells me that he doesn't have a clue of what they're saying. And this, you know, this repetition of the last link of this suggestion just reminds me that somebody's trying to play a game in the Israeli politics, and it's going to be very painful, you know, when it's going to be discovered. You don't suggest to be separated from the Arab Israeli. The Arab Israeli are a part of Israel. They are the flavor, you know. It's like Israeli and Arabs are together. They don't get along, but it never suggests that you separate them. It's a Jewish state. They need to respect that. That's something we still need to work on. Let's get some music and we'll be back after that, okay? Let's go.
Just a little bit, just a little bit. We're going to do a song that I want to dedicate to you, to all the Barry White fans here in Belgium. Very sensitive song. Thank you. The song deals with very sensitive words, words that sometimes we may not be able to say. This song was written by Billy Joel.
Wow, Barry White. What a singer, what a song. It's a lifetime of experience that transcends, you know, people, places, and time. Love it. All right, so we are back. We need to understand what the plan is. Let's think about it. If those people around, the Arab Israeli and the Palestinian, whoever lives in the West Bank, think that the Arab revolution all around is gonna create some kind of motion even in Israel, they're wrong, because there is a difference. The difference is that Israel is a Jewish state. It's not an Arab state. It's not something that you can take over like they did elsewhere. It's not the revolution that took place in Tunisia, which they resolved very fairly, I understood, and they got even the Nobel Prize on organizational, success, which very good. I hope they copy it also to Libya, which they finally reached an agreement, I understand. So it's not like in Syria when you have a revolution. It's not in Egypt, it's not in Libya, it's not in Tunisia, and it's not. Israel is a Jewish state. Now, the fact that the Arabs don't like it, it doesn't matter, because the fact of the matter is that the Jewish state is something that returned to be. It's not something that was created. You see, when you have a transplant of something new, it's really hard to eradicate and to have, you can have the question if it's, you know, working or not. But the Jews are not transplanted here. They are part of the area for, you know, for time, 2,000 years and more, which they travel in the diaspora. They were waiting to come back because the story tells you from the Bible how connected they are to the land. Now, the idea that you have think about, what can we do to let other people understand that all this writing is not going to help? And I heard a lot of Muslims in the north of Israel, which are seculars, they really complain about business now, because the fact that Israelis stop shopping around in the weekend, it's hurting people. But there is also a risk of, from Gaza. And in Gaza, you have a different kind of terror organization working there, but Hamas supposedly is taking care of it. But let's have a segment. I got a segment to talk about it. Let's listen.
Street fires hurled bullets, stones, and are now an everyday occurrence in the West Bank as the conflict between Palestinians and Israeli security forces worsen. Ramallah and Bethlehem has become the latest violence hotspots. The following video, filmed by RT, contains some upsetting images.
رسالتنا لنتنياهو ولحكومة إسرائيل إنه ما تطبوا في الأقصى وما تطبوا في المقدسات. رسالتنا واحدة، إنه الانتفاضة انطلقت.
The standoffs already turned deadly this last week as three separate knife attacks shook Israel. A Palestinian man was shot dead by an IDF soldier after attacking him, while two Israeli civilians were stabbed. Journalists are also finding themselves in a firing line. Well, that video captured the moment. Lebanese-based Al Mayadeen TV correspondent Hannah Mahamid was injured in crossfire. An Israeli police spokesperson commented on that incident, saying that, quote, whoever's present with law-breaking rioters risks getting injured. Hannah told RT what happened.
I was reporting on the public reaction to the situation in Jerusalem after a series of Israeli police attacks on civilians in the Holy City. A crowd gathered outside the house of a Palestinian who had been killed earlier, and security forces launched stun grenades to disperse them. One of the stun grenades went off to my left. I got first and second degree burns on one side of my face and on my neck. My left ear is injured as well, and now I have hearing problems. The current Israeli government is far-right and extremist. It is fully responsible for the security breakdown in the occupied Palestinian territories. An independent Palestinian state must be created.
All right, we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. You know, it's Monday, and we were talking about, you know, the riots that are taking place in Israel. And they complain that Israel is changing the status quo. They call it status quo. It's weird what they're saying. It means that, you know, everything needs to be static and not moving in on Temple Mount, which actually, you know, some people of faith, when they get closer to the faith, they go closer to the roots. And to ask people that, you know, they get closer to their roots and not to visit Temple Mount, it's ludicrous. But some Muslims have a problem with it. You know what? Let's talk in the name of liberty. Let's talk in the name of democracy. You know, when you live in a democratic state like you are in Israel, you cannot allow yourself to think that that democracy stay out of holy sites. Because, you know, it's covered all ground. Now, the question of Jerusalem is still open in the world. Of course, it's the capital, declared capital of Israel, but for some reason the world is not happy to go and move their embassy to there just because they think that the final negotiations are not settled. Now, I resent many times before the fact that they connect the future of Israel with the future of Palestinians. If the Palestinians decide to be all terrorists today, like they are doing, they're not doing any other, no other message is transmitted here, and they're going to go all away. What it has to do with Israelis? Israel is a country. It has a military. They give, you know, 20 years of their good time, economy, and a lot of bloodshed to try to fight or negotiate some kind of accord. The Palestinians give it up, and you know what? By all means, Israel has all the reason in the world to say we quit. You know, it's not now. Now, if they insist to talk, let's talk. But you cannot be a terrorist and then, you know, shoot, and then you want us to talk, because we don't talk to terrorists. So you guys, or you lay up your arm, or we declare that we are not dealing with terrorist activity, and you guys have to go away, and that's it. And it's going to be, you know, very bad. But the left wing are saying, oh, let's make a separation. So, you know, by all means, that's what they mean. So what you guys are doing to yourself, you're actually hurting your whole prospect of having a life. Now, the fact that the American desk is Palestinian-Israeli is annoying to me. I think it's not a good thing. I think that it's ridiculous. It's like you say, European, let's do the European 01. Why? Because they're together. They're connected. Yeah, what about Germany, Italy, or French, England? What about those desks? No, the 01. Now, you guys are connecting Israel to something that it's not something even. It's not an entity yet because they don't have somebody. They have an old guy, 80 years old, that supposedly will tell them, quit fighting, yeah, right. Nothing happening. So the world is to blame because they created the situation in 181 United Nations resolution. They created the mandate of Palestine, then they let the Muslims send people off. They created the Transjordan when they cut the half of the Palestinian territory and give it to the Saudis. And sure enough, to the Palestinians, because there are 80% of them are Palestinian. So the world needs to come to terms with the ridiculous notion that, you know, oh, stop fighting. When they created the problem when Jerusalem, which is the basic core of the creation of the Jewish state, because it's a biblical connection. That's it. If you take Jerusalem, it means that we have no grounds to hold on. And in another generation, you're just saying, you're dismissing the idea. Now, this is not for you guys to decide if Israel will stay or not. It's a fact that the Jewish people came back. Now, you're going to challenge us or not. It doesn't matter. There is a higher plan here, and you know we are not happy with what's the result. But now we need a responsible person to come and take charge of this negotiation and talk to everybody about what really wants you guys want to happen on Temple Mount. And by that term, on Jerusalem. Now, yes, you have to come to that place in history where you have to start talking business. And like in every other places, it doesn't come easy to anybody, but sure enough, it's important. So I do want you guys to take a minute to think who is going to be the good man to start talking between, you know, people to create an understanding between the Palestinian and the Arab-Israeli. I don't know, the Arab-Israeli, they first of all, they have to decide if they're Israeli or Palestinian, because once they decide to be Palestinian and they're going to have supposedly some kind of territories, they will have to move. So they cannot play both cards. But you know what? They are that kind of people. They try to pull, but, you know, these Jews are smart. What are you trying to do? Let's get some more music and we'll be after that. All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. And, you know, I heard that there is some kinds of, you know, attacks in the 70s, and I'm so sorry. Everything is getting out of whack in this world, and we need to be stubborn. We need to be stubborn that we want to keep our way of living. And you know what? We're not going to let them try to rule this world anymore in their obscurity of deeds. We need to pray to get some light, and I hope that we get, you know, the good guys, the Wetaets, as they call them, together and get our act together. All right, guys? Let's listen to what Howard Stern had to say, just, you know, for the fun of it, you know. He's a good guy. If he can earn so much, he deserves to be heard.
Roger Waters is openly criticizing Bon Jovi over the band's weekend show in Tel Aviv.
He's got to shut up, Roger Waters.
The former Pink Floyd bassist wrote an open letter on Salon.com prior to Bon Jovi's Saturday concert. He accused the band of standing shoulder to shoulder with Israel and cited Palestinian casualties caused by the Israeli government.
What Waters is with Roger Waters and the Jews? You know what? Why does Roger Waters live in America, a country that was founded on white people coming in and obliterating the native population? How does he stand it? Why don't we just all leave? And if you take a look over there, Roger, genius, Mr. Pink Floyd, Israel is like, if you, there are so many Arab countries and so much land around Israel. If you threw a pin in a pool, that's what Israel is. Picture a desert with no natural resources, no water, no oil. It was a shithole that nomads essentially would walk over. So they figured, where's the one place they can stick Jews where no one will be offended? They stick because the Jews are getting killed all over the world. So they give them a little homeland on a desert where there's no water, where essentially no one could live. And no one did live there, despite the bullshit. And the Palestinians are these Arabs that could live in Egypt, they could live in Saudi Arabia, but guess what? Those countries don't want them either. So they have a country, and Israel has a little tiny country. And it bugs the shit out of Roger Waters. He can't fucking deal with it. He's writing letters to Bon Jovi. Don't go there. It's a terrible place. Where do you want the Jews to go, Roger? Where do you want them to go? You want them to just go back to the concentration camp? What is it you want, fuckhead?
Waters had similar sentiments for Alan Parsons last
winter. Alan Parsons, happy anybody wants to see him.
When the Alan Parsons Project scheduled a show in Israel.
What's with Roger Waters and the Jews? What is going on?
I don't know what happened to him.
I have a friend who's super Jewy, like Orthodox, keeps kosher, all that. And he knows Roger. I said to my friend, you're super Jewy. What's with Roger and the Jews? And he goes, is there something? And I knew he knew, but he wants to be friends with Roger.
Oh, he just wants to be friends anyway?
Yeah, so he doesn't want to hear about it. But what is with Roger? Why doesn't he explain what's going on? Why is he so bugged about Israel? There's so many countries in this world
where you shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But someone goes to Israel, it's like he's like Curly from the Three Stooges. Slowly I turn, step by step. He's gonna write you open letters, Bon Jovi. I mean, there's a lot of countries that were formed in places where originally there was somebody else there, as we did in America. But all right, now it's there. Maybe Roger wants them all to move to the dark side of the moon.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what the song's about.
That's where the Jews could go and nobody would complain. Jews go.
Oh, that's what's funny. The dark side of the moon. Oh, God, that was a good record. But my God, if we're going to put it, we're not going to put it because of Walters. He is awesome. If you guys are like this about the Jew, and what do you guys want us to do? We are here. We are creation of God. You know, we are children of God. What do you guys want us to do? And you know what? Let me tell you something. Remember those kids that always, you know, are loved by the teacher because the teacher, those children do what the teacher says. Remember? And they always set people up because, or the children up because they're so goody two shoes with the parents or with the teacher. It's the same thing with the Jews. The Jews want to make God happy, and we are those children. What can we do? That's because we know they'll punish us feel bad if we don't. Look at those 2,000 years that we tried to stop doing what was told in the Bible. And sure enough, it was like, after concentration camp, they got the message. Okay, they got the message. Let's go back. So people think, oh, you cannot say that because, you know, God, you know, he needs to say that. Yeah, he said it in the Bible. Well, you don't believe it is? Okay, I need to have a really good reason that it happened. I'm serious. I have to understand. Now, it's the old thing that we do upset somebody. So tough, you know, cookie. Yeah, what can we do? That's the way it is. Now, let's talk about Syria. Syria is in a mess, and the Russians are helping it up like they supposedly do. They were officially requested by the Syrian government to help, you know, kick out those terrorist rebels and all the rest. Now, let me ask those Russians that while you're handling, you know, all those terrorists, can you give us our, you know, men that, you know, there is an old story about 50 years ago that the guy by the name of Eli Cohen, God bless his soul, got, executed by the Syrian regime for cooperating or being a spy for Israel, a spy. And there is, you know, the graveyard in there for many years, of course, 50 years. And his family wants it back. So maybe we can have some good faith, a goodwill gesture and bring, you know, his remains to be buried in Israel. That will be honorable act of humanity. Maybe, you know, you never know. Because talk about Syrian. Syrian regime is going to change, it's going to evolve. And what we assume is going to take place is like they need to make an accord with Israeli. If we have one with Jordan, one in Egypt, they will have to take an accord with Syrian too. Recognizing that the Golan Heights is going to be a part, an independent part of the state of Israel, because nothing else can be securing the border. And that's how Judea and Samaria is supposed to be, you know, the secure border of Israel. Nothing you can do about it, because we need to have security about, just because we have some neighbors we cannot trust. All right? Let's get some music. And I like Howard Stern comments, even though he's the filthy mouse, of course, but how can he spare us, you know, it won't be him. Let's have some music and we'll be after that.
I need love. I need life. I need to know that I have someone that I can love. Baby, you're the one I need. Can you make me feel the way I think you can?
All right, and this time it's almost, you know, quarter to the hour. It's really Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth on BBS Radio, the radio by the people, for the people, and for a better world, for a world that is worth living in. And, of course, there are so many that try to destroy it. But we'll survive, you know? There is too much of good to think that it's all going to go away from some bad apple. All right. We have some another soundbite I want you to listen to. Let's listen to it now.
Tonight on the record, Donald Trump, and nothing is off limits, from the evil mass shooting at a community college in Oregon to Dr. Ben Carson's sudden surge in at least one poll, and even this week in Saturday Night Live, spoof of Donald Trump. The current GOP frontrunner hitting hard on a wide range of topics. One thing is 100% certain. The billionaire businessman never shies away from speaking his mind. And a short time ago, Donald Trump went on the record. Donald, nice to talk to you.
Hi, Greta.
Donald, if you were president when we had another shooting, much like we had in Oregon, how would you have responded to it? And is there any sort of, what's your sort of plan or strategy to stop these shootings?
Well, Greta, I would have really responded by talking about mental health, because a lot of the institutions that used to be open are closed because of budget reasons and a lot of other reasons, but budgetary reasons mostly. In New York, it happened. In California, it happened. And they're closing a lot of these institutions where they take care of people that have mental problems. But I would have certainly talked about mental health as opposed to guns. The president talks about guns, and it's not the guns that do the shooting. It's the people. It's the mind that does the shooting. So I would have been much more focused on that.
All right. Recently, you've gone after Senator Marco Rubio, and you've had some tweets about him calling him, among other things, Little Rube. So why is he in your sights now?
Well, I think he's just fine. It's just that, you know, he hit me because he wasn't doing particularly well in the polls, and he still isn't if you look at his numbers. But he was going after me because I was number one and continue to be, number one by a long way in the polls. And I can understand that. I mean, I can understand why he would. And I told people that he's weak on immigration, very, very weak on immigration, actually, which is a very sad thing. And I think that's one of the many things that people are liking about my candidacy, that I'm very strong on stopping illegal immigration, building the wall, and it will be built. It will be paid for by Mexico. Now people are understanding that's going to happen when they see the kind of money that Mexico is making from the United States. Now they're getting it. And the other thing is his voting record is horrible. If you look at his voting record in the Senate, he misses so many votes, much more than anybody else. So, you know, I brought out these things, but I have nothing against him personally at all.
All right, you bring up polls, and let me say right out front so you don't yell at me. The Fox poll, you're up 8. The Suffolk USA Today poll, you're up 10. But an Investor's Business Daily poll out now says Dr. Ben Carson beats you by 7, and we don't know if that's a trend or an outlier, but your response to that?
Well, it's the first time I've ever heard that, because actually they had a couple of polls where I'm at 35 and 36, and they just came out, too. So I guess they're all going to be different. But I never heard of this poll that you mentioned, actually, Greta. But I know that in one that just came out 2 days ago, I'm at 35, a big one. Or that's nationally. So, we're very happy with the way we are in the polls. And most polls, including your Fox poll, I'm way up over everybody else.
The Benghazi committee recently, Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy made a statement about it. And he's, of course, suggesting that it was political. Obviously, Chairman Trey Gowdy would disagree with him. But is the Benghazi committee investigation of Secretary Hillary Clinton political, or is it legitimate, or a little bit of both?
Well, I don't think it's political. His statement was unfortunate because they could turn it around, and I guess he's got a different reason or statement about his statement. But the truth is, that's such a serious event, and I think Trey Gowdy is very, very serious about it, so he could not be thrilled. He cannot be thrilled with the statement that was made. But I think it was an unfortunate use of words, and hopefully that does not come back to haunt.
Did you have a chance to see Saturday Night Live this past weekend? They had Secretary Clinton was a character there. She actually went and acted. And then they had a skit about you. Were you treated fairly by NBC?
Right. Well, I think so. I mean, it was cute. It was fun. It was nice. It's a good show. I mean, I've been on. I've hosted it. And, it is what it is. I think it was fair. And it was funny. It's supposed to be funny. It was supposed to be a little bit of laughs, and it was, and they certainly had a lot of me in that show, that I can tell you.
What's your biggest disappointment with President Obama?
Well, just that the spirit, if you look, so many mistakes. We don't have victories anymore. We used to have victories all the time, would be, having victory after victory. We have nothing. When was the last time on trade, on war? We can't beat ISIS. We can't beat anybody. Iraq is a disaster. Afghanistan with a hospital, and you see what's going on with that, which such a tragedy. And everything we do is wrong. We're like the gang that couldn't shoot straight. We just, everything we do is wrong. And, I say it, we don't have victories anymore.
Do you think, is it ideology, or is it personality, or is it the fighting on Capitol Hill? What is it?
Maybe it's management. Maybe it's lack of leadership. It's a lot of things. I think it's a lot of things all rolled up into one. But it's just not the way it's supposed to be. We should be this great country that's a great leader in so many different ways, including economically. You look at how some of these countries are just taking advantage of us, how they're taking our jobs. And you look at what happens with our military. We have this military that is strong in one way, but in another way, we know it's getting weaker and weaker all the time. We don't have the General MacArthurs. We don't have the General Pattons anymore. I watched one of the top people the other day saying how tough it was to beat ISIS, and he thinks it's going to be a long time. And I'm saying, boy, George Patton wouldn't be saying that. MacArthur wouldn't be saying that. It'd go quickly. Believe me, it would go very quickly. And yeah, it's just, it's like we're in a different place. Like we're living in a different world from what we used to. We need victory, and we don't have victory anymore.
Why was President Obama seemingly surprised about Vladimir Putin sending his general into the embassy in Baghdad, I think it was on Wednesday, to say that they're going to start flying planes, Russian planes, in Syria in an hour? How did that surprise happen in your mind?
Well, that's a perfect case in point. I mean, Putin was here. He was in this country, and he was everything was, like, fine. They meet, and in theory, there should be no surprises. Then a couple of days later, they leave, and they send somebody in, a general or somebody, to say, this is what we're going to be doing.
How does that happen?
And they start doing it. It's a lack of respect. All it is lack of respect. He doesn't respect our president. And it's purely lack of respect. I mean, he leaves them. They were together 2 days before or a short time before. And all of a sudden, they get this message that was shocking to everybody at the time. And it's not a question of what they were doing, but they had no idea that this was going to be happening. And pure and simple, it's lack of respect for President Obama by Putin.
And so how do you get that respect? Because Putin's a liar. I mean, Putin has deceived us before. And he has had, you know, very bad moments. So how does a president get that respect?
Well, Putin's a liar, but Putin's leading, and Putin is somebody that people are respecting all over the world now, and our country is just the opposite. I mean, you get the respect. I mean, to a certain extent, you have it or you don't have it. You have that ability to get respect. You're a leader or you're not a leader. Now, you can hone those skills, and you can make yourself better. But when leadership, and I've seen it so many different times for so many years, you're either a leader or not. You basically have that ability or you don't have that ability. And we have a president that somehow doesn't seem very, very sadly. I'd love if he was a great leader. I'd love if he were doing a great job. I mean, frankly, I want to see the country be great beyond parties, beyond anything else. But it's not going to happen, and that's why I'm running for president.
Donald, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Greta.
The impossible truth. I think that he's running for office not to because you know, the president is that good. It's because we need a different president because there are elections, okay? That's not a good excuse, Donald Trump, to run for office. You're trying to do something different. And, of course, there are a few good things that I can say that, you know, by all means, he's a successful man, but to be a leader in the free world right now with the chaos, it takes more than talk. It takes some know-how, and nobody can expect from anyone to run the show constantly. Now, America and the United States of America been a leader of the free world for quite some time, and the fact that the Russians are stepping in because the American signaled that they could, like they signaled in other occasion that they could. And the truth of the matter is there weren't any broken promises, as the Russian says, no broken promises between that I know, but whatever I know, I thought that they refer to that. I think that everybody kept is part of the deal with the Americans, and the Russian did, you know, and this is an understanding that we have in the Middle East right now between them. And, of course, they're doing their share, and America needs to get the world, you know, economy in check right now. That's their role. Everyone takes care of his part of the deal, and everything will be okay after that, assuming that all those refugees will come back and settle in Syria again. Now, let me just, for the end of this show, I want to state something. The Israeli government is trying to pursuing a legal method to outlaw some member of parliament, that says they talk bad about the nation, sure, but something else. They are calling to destroy the Israeli nation. That's something that is against the law. And in the international arena, if you have loyalty to a different country, and of course, and you're calling to destroy the country you are trying to represent, that's something that's an oxymoron. So by all means, the Israeli government has a case, and they're going to pursue it. Until now, the Supreme Court were lenient about it, and they let it be. But there is a chance. Now, remember, there is a foreign money poured into this the last election, and probably is responsible for collecting all the, you know, united list for the Arab-Israeli. But they might find them all outlaw if they keep inciting. We're talking about people who are going to incite against the state of Israel, people that are representative, legal representative of the state of Israel, that are calling for rioting, calling to stop whatever occupation. No, they call it occupation when they never had a state. So I don't know what part of occupation they're talking about. And, you know, Howard Stern was saying that, you know, there was a state before that. There was never a Palestinian state. You guys have to start thinking what you all are saying. There is no occupied land because the last one was Turkish. Ottoman Empire was there. Then it was taken by the Brits to facilitate. The Brits took over the Turkish for the Jewish people. That was their mandate. Now, every time you guys all are rhetoric, you know, saying again and again, occupied, which are, you are like hallucinating on something that never happened. And don't, you know, swallow that part of lies, because then your life is becoming untrue to the universe. Forget, you know, if you're doing wrong. But how can you collect so much wrong data? Then you expect your world to be okay. You got the math wrong. No Palestinian state, okay? There wasn't. There was not. The land called Palestinian was nominated, named. Like you call a name, somebody take a different name. But it's always, you know, when you have one name, it's always you, but you can call it a different way. So the land of Israel was called Palestine for a determined time. So the enemy will be happy. But now Israel got it back. So it's back to Israel, the land of Israel, with its capital, Jerusalem. You'll have to get used to it sooner or later. All right, guys, it's time is over. It was a wonderful being with you today. I'm so happy. I hope I didn't miss anything. And I told you everything but that I had experienced and lived and loved. And with the great music of Barry White, I appreciate it. I appreciate you all, and BBS Radio, of course. I love you all. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be with you back on Wednesday. God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.